Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to another week of Revirginized, which is your favorite and bestest, because yes, that's a word, fan podcast for Max's original series, and just like that. Today, I bring to you episode 10. Now, I just have to shout out Jay, who did appear on last week's episode. Jay, we love you already. We miss you already. You are absolutely everything. Jay will not be on today's episode, but he is here in spirit and he sends his love. But let's jump right into this, starting off with Carrie. So in this episode, it opens up to Carrie wearing this fantastic outfit that only she can wear at Coney Island, which, by the way, she has a hard time realizing that that's in Brooklyn, but I digress. And so it starts off with her and Aiden holding hands, and they are so stinking cute. And they are walking towards Steve, who just bought another piece of property. And apparently him and Aiden went in on it together. And I just have to say, guys, I love that they kept their friendship going. Like, despite anything that's happened, excuse my French, despite all the bullshit, despite everything that happens in their own relationships, I love that they still, you know, the show does a good job at keeping the bond that these characters did have with each other. And we see Aiden and Steve give each other like this nice high five, because I guess they're partners. And I just gotta say, I love seeing it. And it was so nice to see the three of them there, because I don't know if you guys remember from the original series, but there was a time when Steve was like, oh my God, please don't get back with Aiden again. You know, like, basically advocating for his friend, like, Harry, you've been breaking his heart. And, you know, it's nice to see them together on this end years later and just having a beer. And it's nice to see that they can all be friends, even though Miranda's not in the picture as she once was. And then we even see Brady. So it was cute. And I just gotta say, I love that Carrie and Aiden took the train. It gives me very old school Carrie Bradshaw before, like, all this money. Don't get me wrong, she loved her cabs, but, you know, she did take the train a few times in the original series, and I just love that it feels like Aiden brings out her more homely side of her. If I'm even using that word in the right context, you guys get what I'm trying to say, but I just really like that side of Carrie. And, you know, basically in this episode, she's toying with this idea of having a last supper, because she did win this fundraising event, which I love that LTW and Charlotte are still doing. Like, they're doing all these fundraising events, and Carrie, who's such a great friend, she signs up for all of these things to support these kids, and she did win. And she's, you know, going to have this Michelin chef at her house, so she wants to do this last supper idea. And as we're speaking about her apartment, we were right. A bunch of us on Reddit, me just taking my guesses, she did end up selling this apartment to Lisette, which a part of me loves, but at the same time, I feel like, Carrie, like, that apartment needed to stay with you. You need to just sublet that apartment, but let's see what happens. So she did sell it, and I'm really excited about that. And, you know, one of the things that I really loved the most is that as she's, like, giving away certain things to Lisette, Lisette asks if she can actually have the phone, the infamous black phone. And she was like, no, that phone has a lot of memories with me that I need to take. So in this episode, like, you know, we can see that Carrie's ready to move on with a man that she loves very much, which she says in this episode. But there are still parts of her that wants to hold on to her old relationship with Big, which I applaud, which I'm on board for. Like, you know, she's, you know, that was her husband for many, many years, despite what we think about her relationship with Big, right? I love that she still wants to hold on to some parts of him, because it was very real, and it takes a lot to be able to hold on to that while you're in your new relationship, you know, like, not throwing away what was very important to you and a person that was important to you, who you were, whether it was good or bad. Big was a large part of who she is right now. And it takes a big person to be able to walk away from that, step into a new relationship, but also still keep that old relationship close to their heart, right? And he's not a threat, right? He's dead. So she is taking that phone. And as we're diving into Carrie in this episode, we do see that she does call Anthony, who I'm going to talk a little bit about later on. But she calls Anthony to her apartment because Stanny has left a message for Anthony and she wants to personally deliver it to him. And I love this episode because, you know, in this letter, Stanny is basically saying he's not going to come back. You know, he's becoming a monk and he needed Carrie to deliver the message because he knows Anthony's going to make fun of him. But he's found this inner peace. And yes, amazing. I love that the writers did not kill Stanford off this show. They gave him a nice send off. And Carrie actually takes, Sarah Jessica, because let's call it for what it was. She is taking what I feel like was a real drink for Stanny. And if we can, I do want to give us a few moments of silence to Willie Garson. We've never done this here, but he definitely deserves that. So here's us giving Willie his moment of silence. And yes, Willie, may you rest in peace. You know, I do want to just take this time to just pour out a lot of love to his son. He left behind a son who, you know, this must be extremely hard for. Willie was a single parent, and I'm sure that his son has tons of love and support, especially coming from Sarah Jessica herself. But it is really hard when you lose a parent. And, you know, to all of us who followed Willie Garson, you know, his son was everything for him. And likewise, you know, Willie was everything for his son. Like, his father was the best person in his life. He often says, you know, is my best friend. He was my best friend. So we definitely want to honor Willie Garson and just go out and say yes, Sarah, for taking that real ass drink that we know HBO let you take to honor Willie. And so that was his send off. And, you know, I think I do like the progression that the show is actually taking. you know, the more we do get to see, I'm sorry about that, guys. Carrie in this episode, she's very much more relaxed. She's very like in tune to who she's becoming. She's ready to move into her new apartment, which I am excited to see. But that doesn't mean that that's not going to come with a few hiccups. Towards the end of this show, at least for Carrie's character, Archie, you do see that, you know, there is something that happens with Wyatt, and I'm actually going to get into Aiden, like segue perfectly into him, but there is something that's happening with Wyatt. And basically towards the end of the episode, we do see Carrie extremely worried about the status of her relationship because Aiden gets this phone call. He has to take this flight. I don't want to sit here and say that Wyatt, who had a very bad, unfortunate accident, was anything suicidal. I'm not sure. But what we do know from Wyatt is that there are some deep-rooted issues. And I don't necessarily think that it is stemming from Aiden being with Carrie, because what I forgot to actually even mention even beforehand, in the beginning of this episode, we see Wyatt calling Aiden and he's like, you know, mom is being a dick, right? And so clearly Wyatt is just going through the motions. We already know that he's a puzzle. We already know he's a handful. And I always said to myself, he is going to be an obstacle for Carrie and Aiden. He wants to be with Aiden at all times. He wants Aiden to drop what he's doing, as we saw in this episode, to actually just come to him. And actually, I'm just going to segue straight into Aiden. You know, Aiden is being a wonderful parent, but I can tell, and I think we all can tell, even across Reddit, that, you know, this is going to be really tricky. Aiden navigating Wyatt, who is kind of like a little bit of a jerk, but, you know, I want to give him credit. He's 14. but he's having a hard time with this whole relationship. But I think it's really just a hard time with Aiden being away. I think it's it's clear for right now to say that Aiden is the parent that, you know, he'd rather spend a lot of his time with, the one that he's like constantly obsessed with, very OCD about. He don't play about his daddy. Okay. And so, you know, we do see Aiden and Carrie just being all cozy with each other. We do see Aiden trying to just like lay down the ante, like, I am here, Wyatt, you need to handle your business. But then we do see Wyatt getting into accident because he wishes that he could have been with Aiden. So that's how we actually leave off the entire episode. But before we even get into what I feel about all that jazz, right? Speaking of Carrie and Aiden, I am going to segue now into Miranda. So Miranda is killing it at work, which we love to see because that is just basic, regular Miranda, but not even just basic. She's always been a bad boss bitch, excuse my French, but you know, I feel like us seeing anything less than that wouldn't have made sense, right? Like, I think we can all agree seeing her in California trying to assimilate to this life, it just wasn't doing enough for us. So she's killing it at work. And she even meets a friend at her UN meeting, who they all met with, named Joy, who I'm calling it right now. That's going to be the new love interest. I am just calling it. We're going to see Joy next season, which I heard it is getting renewed for a new season. So I'm excited about that, but I'm calling it right now. And when Miranda, who is talking with her new bestie, Naya Wallace, which I will also get into, you know, we do hear Naya mentioning, you know, you kind of throw away your exes. And Miranda's basically saying in this episode, I don't want to throw away my exes, right? I actually want to be there for them. And so she ends up supporting Shay at her new comedy show, which she has no idea is actually for Shay's new boo or new love interest. But she ends up going with Carrie and Aiden, which I love. I love to see them out. You know, Miranda was a huge Aiden fan. And they end up out in Brooklyn. And she's showing support. And let me tell you something. I commend you, Miranda, for not wanting to throw away your ex. But that show that Miranda had to sit through was a shit show. And I'm going to talk about that next. She sat through Shay's comedy routine and Shay devoured her and their relationship. And I almost felt bad for Miranda, but I didn't. And all I kept thinking about is, how dare you say you don't want to throw away your exes? And she references Skipper. She goes, I don't want to throw away my exes like I threw away Skipper. First of all, we love Skipper, but what about Steve, Miranda? What about Steve? You're actually, you know, pretending like he's not even a factor in your life. That's number one. So I don't feel bad for Shay roasting you just off of what you did to my homie Steve. But then on top of that, this is an ex you needed to throw away, and we told you this was not going to end well. You treated people like shit. You discarded Steve in all of season one of And Just Like That. You did not care about his feelings, and here goes this girl roasting you into oblivion with zero F's given. So moving into Shay. Okay, so Shay, who I do love to see now that she's sans Miranda, Shay is doing her thing. She's more enjoyable, I think we can all agree. But she decides that she wants to do this comedy routine to impress Toby. I don't know Toby's pronouns. I don't think they were addressed. I'm gonna say she for right now. And please do correct me, you guys out there, if you do know. You know, definitely let me know on Twitter and on Instagram. But she's doing this for her new love interest, which is, you know, flag number one, Miranda, she's way over you. Not that Miranda wanted to, I guess, get back with her, but you know, Miranda's still feeling it. And so sadly, I thought Shay's comedy run was actually funny. You guys know I don't think she's funny. I actually thought this was a little funny, but it was funny at the expense of Miranda. And my heart did go out to Miranda a little bit, only because Miranda uprooted her entire life. Shame on you. For someone who she thought was going to be worth it, Shay was not worth it. She reamed her. Karma is a bitch, Miranda. So sorry. And you want to know something? There's a lot of you guys on Reddit who actually thought Aiden and Carrie should have just like told Shay off. I should have just walked out. And it got me thinking of to Samantha, because we all know Samantha would have been there. She would have stood up. She would have looked at Shay directly. And she would have been like, hey, asshole. Like, we all know that would have come. Or dickwad. One of the two. But I'm going to get into my thoughts about that a little bit later. But, you know, needless to say, you know, Shay's doing this run and Miranda leaves, and she sees Miranda leaving and she decides that she's going to stop, and she goes out and follows Miranda. Now, if any of you guys out there thought she was going to apologize to Miranda or feel bad or say this was just comedy, this is just pretend, no, that is not what she did. She literally sat there. And she showed her side, and she was like, she apologized that her feelings were hurt, but she was not apologizing for what she did. And to be honest with you guys, I do like that. And I'm going to tell you why. Shay has been very upfront with who they are from the beginning. And I'm sorry, I think I keep saying she, they, who they are. And honestly, I do think that, you know, this is who she is. She said she's anything but other than traditional. She's told Miranda who she was from the very, 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 very beginning. And I think it is, you know, I think for Shay to have apologized for using her real life in the comedy run, it wouldn't have been true to who she was. So I like that she didn't do that. But I was very sad. Well, not sad. Miranda deserved it. I actually was happy she never apologized for that. But it was kind of like, you know what, Miranda? That's what you get. And so Shay stood unapologetically herself, and she left with Toby. So I wonder how this next episode is going to go with The Last Supper. But speaking of Last Suppers, let's get into Charlotte. You know Charlotte loves a good party. You know Charlotte is the reason for this Last Supper. And speaking of killing it at work, Charlotte is killing it at work. So Sam Smith, that is all I have to say. Sam Smith, who we love, by the way, phenomenal. I'm sorry, guys. I need to take a few seconds to just give this man, I think that's his pronouns. I think he's, I'm not sure. Guys, do please correct me. I am going to apologize right now because I should know this and I should have done my research. So please, guys, don't kill me. But Sam Smith, I want to give him his flowers. He is fudging phenomenal, phenomenal singer. You know, I hear he's a phenomenal person, and I was so happy when I saw that he was making an appearance, because I love his music, and I do need to listen to it more often, but that is a phenomenal voice. Shout out to the UK. They always bring such pure talent. But anyway, okay, drooling over, and I'm loving the outfit, by the way. Charlotte showed the piece to Sam Smith, and that piece was over $100,000. So what happens when you sell a piece for over $100,000? We take you out for drinks. So Charlotte gets drunk, and you know what I love about that? She is, you know, just letting loose, something that Charlotte has always kind of had a little bit of a hard time doing in the original series. But I feel like now, in her groove, in her 50s, she can let loose just a bit. Charlotte, you deserve to let loose, mommy, because you have been a phenomenal parent. She throws her phone in the margarita blender because her kids keep calling her. But I love that. Why? Why do I love that? Because even early on in the episode, when Rock calls her and she's selling the piece to Sam Smith, she's like, you need to be self-sufficient. You need to figure these things out for yourself. I am back at work. I am a badass mom, but I was also a badass ballerina, and I'm finally doing things for myself. I need you guys to be self-sufficient. And she calls Harry. Harry, I need you to be there. And you know, in this episode, I do want to say I loved how her and LTW, who I'll get into next, are really like just driving the force. Like, you know, we're not saying you guys are absentee parents. We're not saying you guys are not there. We're not saying you're absentee dads, but we are really taking on a bunch of the bulk, and we also have our lives to live. So yes, Charlotte, yes, shout out to you for telling your kids to shove it. And her kids are such little brats, by the way. Granted, they are being 14 years old and 16, 17 years old, but they can have a little more grace with Charlotte. So when she got home twisted and she literally was like telling them off, like, yes, I'm drunk. And they're like, you're gross. She was like, no, I was a person before you. And she storms off to the room only to let Richard Burton in. Good for you. I am clapping for you. So that was our Charlotte. And this is the perfect segue into LTW, by the way, because she's pregnant. And only LTW can make looking tired graceful. Even when they were brunching and Charlotte was singing her praises like a good friend about her PBS documentary, and she was even telling Charlotte when all the ladies left, she said, Charlotte, maybe let's not tell people, because she was nervous, you know, she's stressed, she doesn't know how life is going to be with a new baby, she doesn't know if she can commit with this new baby coming. And even though we're seeing her at one of her most vulnerable, only LTW can look so graceful and just so amazing, even through that tear. And I love seeing that friendship of her and Charlotte. Charlotte, she's so supportive. She's like, no, I'm gonna tell everybody because you're a badass. And even when she admits to Charlotte that she's pregnant, Charlotte is still like trying to sing her praises, but then you see her like being the nurturer that she is, like being there for her. So I love it. And LTW is having a hard time dealing with it, and she tells Herbert, like, yes, you're here, but I do majority of this work for these three kids, and another baby is going to be a lot, especially you running for comptroller. So I did enjoy seeing her at her most vulnerable in this episode. And sadly to say, she does miscarry. Now, a few of you guys on Reddit actually were wondering if she actually terminated this baby. So she didn't. Well, here's the thing. I don't know, because that is something that her and Herbert did speak about. And she said, she goes, you know, I love that I have this option to terminate, like basically if I wanted to, but I'm not going to go through with that, you know? And shout out for her for sticking up for what she wants, even though she knows that this is something so out of, you know, her league right now to be, you know, a parent all over again to a newborn. And so I don't necessarily think she terminated the baby. I do think she was so stressed that it, she miscarried, especially in her age range. You know, miscarriages are so common. But would it surprise me if she did terminate it? No, because when he mentioned, let's go to the hospital, she said, it's a little too late for that. But if I remember correctly, after their little back and forth conversation, she mentions, okay, let's go. So I was just a little bit confused there. I don't know if it was like, let's go so I can get a DNC. I don't know. I don't know what was happening there. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think that's what it was. But I my heart is with LTW. Let's see what next episode holds. She's doing way too much. So I feel like that's what happened. And speaking of babies and people doing way too much, Dr. Nia Wallace. So I just want to shout her out. I think she's a phenomenal actress. I think for next season, we need to do more with her. First of all, if I ever catch Andre Rashad, he is going to catch all of my hands and feet. I am going to be extremely New York, and I'm going to stomp him out with Timberland boots, because I cannot stand his character. I don't understand how they go from being completely in love to now all of a sudden you knocked up somebody you was working with. Like, wait, if you're so in love with me, baby or not, like, we just had this conversation about IVF, how are you so willing to move on? It doesn't make sense. Again, lazy writing from the writer's room. Don't kill me, guys. When you listen into this podcast, you need to hire me. When you're listening into this podcast, please do, because I have so much insight. I've watched the original series. I write fan fiction. I really do. And maybe I need to write some more and tag you guys in it. And even though Nia wasn't in the original series, guys, come on, the progression. I mean, on one hand, I love the fact that she's getting over it, and she can over emoji the photo on Instagram, which is what led her to finding this baby registry and being invited to the baby shower. But the fact that he can move on that quick, and the fact that we don't see like more of her grieving, which we know is like, you know, we know she's grieving. You know, I want to see more. F you, Andre, like, you broke my heart. Like, this is 20 years. You're not supposed to just move on in a few months with someone you barely know just because I don't want to do another round, like, or just because I don't want another baby. Like, yes, that's a big deal, but this is 20 years. How, Sway, and how are we being friends so quickly? Like, don't get me wrong, I have exes, and I wish all of my exes nothing but the best. And, you know, if we're ever cordial, amen. You know, I have no hard feelings, but I wasn't 20 years with them. You know, I wasn't going through IVF or anything like that. Like, how, Sway? You guys are lazy writers. So anyway, what does she do? Rant over. She buys one of the most expensive gifts. Amen. You know, I mean, I feel Dr. Naya, like, I have exes, and, you know, I would always be cordial. If I ever saw them in the street, I'd be cordial. If they ever had kids, I'd be cordial. You know, like, I would never get invited to a kid's birthday party or anything like that. But if I ever was, I'd buy them something. Like, I'm not that type of person. But this is just too quick. And she does buy them a nice expensive gift. But I hate the storyline. I really do. And I love that she was so badass about it. Like, yep, I'm going to buy you something, you know, because I still wish you the best. But I still wish we would have seen more from Dr. Naya. She deserved more. She really does. So here's hoping that next episode is better and next season is better. And then last but not least, we have Seema, we're just going to agree she's another Samantha, right? Like, please, guys, let's just call the spade what the spade is. Let's just call it what it is. So, needless to say, she had a very Samantha season 4, episode 14 moment, minus the drugs, in which, remember when Samantha told Richard she loved him during sex? So this is exactly what Seema did. She told him she loved him during sex. This new hotshot, I keep forgetting his name, hotshot director. And she goes to tell Carrie about it. And that's it. That's what we get of Seema. We get that little itty bitty glimpse. And of course, her being sassy with Lisa, but, you know, she's very graceful too. So I don't know what's really happening. I mean, a lot of these supporting characters are taking more of a backseat. I'm okay with that. I just wish that we would write them just a little bit better. But anyway, so to close out this episode, I like the pace of the episode. I thought the episode was really good. I do enjoy the realness of the episode with Aiden, his kids, because we did all know that that was going to be a factor, right? Let's call the spade a spade. That was always going to be a hindrance. I'm definitely excited to see what happens next episode, because I feel like even though MPK definitely said he didn't bring Aiden back to fail, you know that these writers can't write worth a damn sometimes, right? They just do, all right, like most of the times. I mean, they just do the darnest things, and I'm just hoping that next episode doesn't disappoint me with Wyatt. I don't know what this looks like for Carrie. At the end, she closes with, and just like that, I was worried, and I was worried for her too. A bunch of people on Reddit are like eating her up alive, like, oh my God, she's so selfish. His kid almost tried to commit suicide, or his kid is in the hospital, or he has kids. I don't necessarily think it's her being selfish. Yes, she is a selfish character. That is very true to Carrie Bradshaw. But I think she's just so worried. You know, this is new for her. First of all, shout out to Carrie for even being open to the kid situation. You know she must love Aiden, because Carrie has never really been a kid person. I think if Big would have wanted them, she would have given him kids. And notice how if that would happen, nobody would have mentioned Big forcing her. But when it comes to Aiden, you guys hate Aiden so much that you complain with everything he does. But I digress. But, you know, she still has never fully been a kid person. Yeah, she was a great godparent that we saw to Lily in the movies as well. We know she loves Brady, but I do want to give her flowers for just being open to the situation. I don't think she was being selfish. I think she was being worried because she knows that that's a factor, and she knows that dating someone with kids is complicated. So let's see what happens. I did like the episode. I love the progression of it. I love how real it was. It was touching on everyday life, miscarriage, mothers going back to work after leaving work to be stay-at-home moms for so long. You know what I'm saying? You know, people and their exes. Oh, and by the way, how can I forget Anthony? And, you know, I did want to talk about this really quickly. And you guys, please help me, my LGBTQ community. Please help me, educate me, enlighten me. I'm always wanting to learn about these things. There was a conversation that happened between Anthony and Giuseppe about tops and bottoms. And Anthony did not want to be effed because he said, "I'm not a bottom." He said, "That is for a woman." Now, I kind of felt like, wait, what? What? But then he started to say, like, you know, the gay roles back in his generation was really different. And even though they're men and they're gay, I guess there's like, and help me out, guys. I guess even if you're men and you're gay, like, there's still like this whole idea of someone being the woman and taking it in the butt. Like I guess there's like, yeah, of like just being a woman and taking it. And I guess he doesn't want to be considered that. I don't know how I felt about that. But I mean, again, I'm also not a gay man. And he did say that that was something that's like very old school to his generation. And so, I don't know, it was definitely a lot to think about and definitely a lot of food for thought. Please let me know what you guys think of that. If you guys have been in that situation, if you guys have been in that situation from that generation versus now being in this generation, if it's changed, please educate me, guys, because I want to know more about this. That was definitely an interesting conversation. And so, moving on to the fashion. So let's start with Miranda and her amazing jumpsuit, which actually is a two-piecer. So it is by none other than Christopher John Rogers. And it's two pieces, but she wore it as one. It is a button-down, metallic mustard yellow satin button-down, and the metallic mustard yellow satin wide leg pants. Now, the trousers are $1,690, but they're on sale at Farfetch for $680. And the top is regular retailed at $1,145, but it's on sale for $461. On Farfetched. She also had, and that was the outfit that we saw when they were at brunch. She also had this nice dress, this green dress on when her boss finally came back to work. It is a Ciara dress, which is $355, but on sale for $210 on the website. And interestingly enough, the designer is Hobbs London, which I think we've seen. This might be a repeat of this designer. So definitely check that out. And then I just want to highlight Sam Smith's martini glass bag, which was a Judith Leiber Couture beaded martini glass cocktail clutch. It is at Bergdorf Goodman for $5,795, and only he could make that so beautiful. Or them. I'm so sorry, guys. Please correct me, and I will definitely do my research for next time. And then Charlotte wearing this Gabriella Hearst Carol off the shoulder belted wool crepe dress, which retails for $2,475, but is on sale on the website for $866. Now, this is that pink off the shoulder dress she wore when they were ladies brunching. And it is by Matches Fashion, which I will definitely link and on our Instagram and on our Twitter. But interestingly enough, guys, I was having a hard time finding the top that we all want, that polka dotted top that she wore when Rock called her. I'm gonna find that for you guys and definitely post it on Instagram and Twitter, so definitely look out for us. Now, LTW. So what you probably didn't realize is that awesome blue or cerulean blue outfit that she was wearing, it actually is a set. So the top is Awake A.W.A.K.E. mode cutout crepe top, which originally is $695, but it retails for $349, and that was an amazing ass top with the little holes in the back. If you guys see this outfit, you'd be, oh my god, in heaven. And I am gonna put it on Instagram so you can see it. It is by Intermix, along with the pants, which I don't think we got to see, and it is still Awake mode. And it's the wide leg trousers with slits. And it's $785, but it is on sale for $274.75. And then we have, oh, let's go back to Miranda a little bit, because I know we were loving that ombre coat. That is Oscar de la Renta. De la Renta. And it is a double face wool ombre jacket. Now this is at Neiman Marcus. Now I have the price for the blazer. No, mentira. Yeah, I'm sorry guys, I have the price for the blazer. The blazer is retailing $5,990, so just know that the coat would be a little more pricier, and it is at Neiman Marcus. And those beautiful orange pants that she wore with underneath that coat is from Net-a-Porter, or Net-a-Porter, as I heard someone say. It is the interior, the Fontaine wool and silk blend straight leg pants, which is $1,300, and it retails for $780. Now, I follow this awesome influencer, and she says Net-a-Porter, and her name is Lindsay Lane Star. I'm actually going to tag her in there as well on Instagram just to give her her props. Net-a-Porter. Yes, now let's go back to Seema, because you know how she loves that cheetah. I'm not a big fan of the cheetah, but I digress. It's like a yes and no. That is also Net-a-Porter, and it is the Neely. Her coat was Neely Low in Juicy leopard print silk twill shirt. Mentira. It is not a coat, it is a shirt, guys. And it retails for $650, but it's on sale for $375.50. And the magic pants, because you know this show loves everything in a set, is the Neely Lawton Germain leopard print silk twill straight leg pants. That's also originally $795, but it's for $477 now at Net-a-Porter. Now, the reason why I always, disclaimer, give you guys the original prices is because sometimes you can't find the actual sale. You know, sometimes when you guys go to look, the sale is over. Or, you know, it's out of stock. So then when you go to find it somewhere else, you can bet to believe that it's going to be at that retail price or a little bit higher. So I always just want to give you what it originated at. And then let's end a little bit with Carrie Girl. So that blue outfit that she had outside of Shay's comedy show is by Supreme. And it is a sparkle cardigan in blue. I'm going to do some more research on that because I want to see Supreme exactly what. Because for sure not the Supreme I'm thinking of. But then let's not forget that awesome, awesome quilted coat. It is a yellow scalloped quilted coat that she wore for the ladies brunching. And it is by none other than Converted Closet, which loves to make an appearance in this show. So I am loving that, and I need it. If anybody wants to support me, please feel free to send any money my way so you can fund my flyness. JK, JK. And so I want to shout out her shoe, her SJPs. She is wearing none other than her very own heels this episode when she was walking towards the new apartment, the new Heaven on Fifth, Heaven on Gramercy. It is the calico heels, and it was like a bunch of different colors, which we loved, and it retails for $365. It is on sale right now as we speak for $225.50. And then to end our fashion segment, last but not least, none other than the wonderful pajama set that she wore when we were giving our farewell to Stanny. It is the Paris pajama set that retails for $225. No sale that I know of, but keep looking, guys. And the website is Pour. Oh God, I'm going to butcher this, and I took French in high school. Pour les femmes. Okay, so P-O-U-R, pour, les, femmes, F-E-M-M-E-S. Let's see if I remember my French correctly that we don't pronounce the S. Right, femme. So guys, that ends our fashion segment. That ends this recap. Thank you guys for always being such loyal fans. I do not have any questions for this week. I do have all of the things that I did speak to you guys about on Twitter, on Reddit. So, you know, sometimes I'll have questions for you guys. Other times I'll just let you know what people were saying on Reddit because, you know, it is hot. On Reddit, they really come in hot, and so do I, just so like that you guys know, so do I. And actually, I do want to take this quick moment to say that I missed a question from episode 8 from none other than Heather Solaris, and her question back then was, it made me nervous, is Mr. Shaw gonna stick around? So I do actually want to highlight that question, because even though it was from back then, it is so relevant even from today's episode. Heather, I don't know, you know MPK, you know the writers and their lazy writing. They say one thing to us and then they don't deliver. I'm hoping that he lasts, but I am just as nervous as Carrie was at the end of this episode. And just like that, Candace is stumped. And just like that, Candace is nervous too. And just like that, we will see you guys next week. I love you guys so much. And I say we because I'm calling it into existence that Jay will be here. Bye for now. Cannot wait for the Last Supper.